Welcome back to episode 49 of the Guardian Project Podcast. I'm your host, Andy. And Coyle, what is another name for a UPS driver if they were on a Coria?
I don't know. What?
A parcel beast.
Ah, I like that. And I'm your co-host, Mike Coyle. And if there's one thing we learned from the most recent brawl banning, it's that you can win some, but you can't win no to them all.
I mean, you can on turn four. That's why she got banned.
Please listen carefully.
This is the podcast where we talk about all things Magic the Gathering.
But mostly Commander.
And before we start, we want to thank our patrons.
Patrons.
Thank you, patrons. We appreciate all of your support. If you want to support us, you can head to patreon.com/guardianprojectpod and donate at any amount. We've got lots of fun prizes, and we have some posts coming out for some deck techs. So we're really excited. So you can check those out.
Another way you can support us is hopping over to our website, www.guardianprojectpodcast.com, where you will find a link to TCG Player. So we are an affiliate with TCG, and if you are looking to pick up some singles or some sealed product and you're going to pick it up off TCG Player, please do so through our link. It would be awesome. We get a little bit of kickback to help support the podcast. It all goes back in. And another way you can help us out is by subscribing, dropping a comment, dropping a like, whatever you can do on whatever source that you're listening to us on.
Yes. And you know what's funny is when you said to hop over to there, I was like, what other way could they get to our, our website? And that's, I didn't hear what you said because I was like, they could skip.
Skip. They could jump. Hop, jump.
They could roll.
Zoom.
Roll on over to our website. Zoom. You could fly. What are we talking about this week?
This week we are going to talk about the most recent banned and restricted list update. We're going to talk about Command Fest Online.
I'm really excited.
And the Love Your LGS promotion.
Also really excited.
And then for our main segment this week, we are going to talk about maybe a newly recurring series if people like it. We're going to talk about how to do stuff of a color not in that color, or color pie bends, color pie breaks. I don't know if we have a solid title for this yet, but today we're going to talk about blue. So how to do blue stuff without blue.
How to blue in not blue. And then.
Oh, and I'm sorry. And of course, we're going to do a Commander of the Week.
You know, what's funny is I was going to do a blue Commander, and then I was like, no, I don't have one to talk about.
Yeah, non-blue.
I mean, I do have one, but I didn't want to talk about extra turns for a third week in a row. And then I realized we're talking about turns, and I was like, you know what? I'm not going to talk about it. So we're going to talk about my deck, Lysolde of the Blood Witch.
Yeah. Rakdos.
So banned and restricted announcement.
Yeah. So there obviously on the 18th, there was a ban and restriction announcement where they updated the bannings in Brawl, Legacy, and Vintage. So in Brawl, we see Dranith Magistrate and Winota Joiner of Forces have been banned.
100% on board. We were talking, we did a stream of Winota, Joiner of Forces, a couple of weeks ago, and you consistently win on turn four or turn five. And if you're not going to, you play Dranith Magistrate, and your opponent really can't play the game. And yeah, 100% on board with both. They were both miserable, and I'm glad I got to play the deck for as long as I did, because it was really good.
Yeah, they said that part of the philosophy of Brawl is it shouldn't be easy for a single card to completely shut down a class of commanders. So that's why Dranith Magistrate saw the Banhammer. And then Winota, because of how unbalanced it seemed early game. If you don't have removal in hand, you're going to lose. So on to Legacy. We see two companions have been banned. Luris of the Dream Den and Zerda the Dawnwaker. So Luris of the Dream Den has been seeing play, especially in all these Eternal or close to Eternal formats with really low CMC curves. And he just, you know, adds recursion to everything that you could possibly do, making it pretty big. But the one that people maybe don't know about is Zerda the Dawnwaker as a companion with the combination of Grim Monolith. So being and also being played in Bomberman combo in Legacy, with Ariok Champion, I think is the name, along with Lion's Eye Diamond. So that was just too strong. Again, they're just trying to balance the format out. They didn't realize how good some of these companions were going to be in these older formats. And lastly, Vintage saw its first ban since they banned Scheherazade in 2007 by
That's
banning
the year I graduated high school.
By banning Loris of the Dream Den. So
13 years. No other bannings. Ugh. Means the card's crazy. Decent. It's okay.
Real good. It was being played in over 55% of Vintage decks on Magic Online. And there was no downside. So, ooh, turns out extra cards that you can cast whenever without it being in your hand are pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, it also said that they recognize it's a rare occurrence to ban a card, then restrict it. But this is a unique case where restricting it wouldn't matter.
That's right. You only need one copy.
You only need one to be the companion.
Mm-hmm.
We also are talking about Command Fest Online. This I'm really excited about.
Yeah.
So Command Fest Online is a charity event that's happening with in conjunction with Channel Fireball events on June 6th. It'll give you a chance to play Commander from the comfort of your home with players from all around the world in aid of the Red Cross. So the event's free with a suggested donation, and you can find more information. We'll post a link to it. I think we actually already, we retweeted this the other day, so you can check that out. So it says it's going to run online all day on the 6th with casual games, silly rules, donation drives, and they're going to stream it over on Twitch. And there's a lot of people joining, folks from the Command Zone, other people that are prominent in the community. And then the games are going to be played on Spell Table, which used to be called Virtual EDH.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's been rebranded to Spell Table. It's what we play our games on if you've joined us for a Friday night Commander stream. Really fantastic program. And one of the creators of Spell Table actually joined us. Jonathan jumped into our stream on Friday to see how everything was going. Conveniently, he jumped in when Coyle pressed the back button and was like, oh God, I was hoping something didn't go wrong. Coyle's like, no, I just pushed the back button.
Oops.
So that went really well. It was really cool to hang out with him. He chatted with us for a bit. So check out Spell Table if you aren't using that yet to play your Commander Online. And we are always playing games in our Discord. So if you are looking for people to play Commander with, there's always somebody looking in our Discord. So check out Channel Fireball for more updates as the event gets closer. And then there's also a quick reminder, they're doing Command Fest in a box. You can order some cards to get some Soul Rings and some Path to Exiles. But that's on June 6th, and I will be participating. So if anybody wants to join and play some games, that's in like just over two and a half weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm excited for that. Command Fest Online.
Yeah, it'll be a ton of fun.
And then we have the Love Your LGS promotion. So this one I'm really excited about. I didn't expect this one. So once game stores are able to open back up starting on June 5th, if you buy any product, any Magic product, while supplies last, you can receive a promo Reliquary Tower. It's a new artwork. And then you can buy a box, a booster box, and receive a promo of Hangarback Walker with its Godzilla altar of Mecha Godzilla Battle Fortress. And that, I believe, said that there is no limit on that one, so you can buy multiple boxes. Is that correct?
I didn't see anything otherwise.
Yeah, yeah. It specifically says these are not limited to one per customer. So if you purchase any box product, including a Corioleum Behemoth or a Mystery Booster Box, you could receive a Hangarback Walker promo Godzilla card. And I just built Nakara and Yannick, and it will fit right in there. So I feel like I need to do this.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, super. Like, not a particular card that needed a reprint or anything, but just super cool artwork, and it fits. It's on theme and all that, so. And the Reliquary Tower is beautiful.
The Reliquary Tower is really nice. And I already run Reliquary Tower in a lot of decks, so I'm excited to play this. You know what's interesting is they don't mention the they don't, I didn't see it, but the language on the promo reliquary tower says bring a friend, but I didn't see bring a friend mentioned anywhere in the actual announcement. It just says make any purchase. So I'm wondering if this was supposed to be a promo related to like the teach somebody new how to play Magic.
Mm-hmm.
And they've just repurposed it for this.
Yeah, and printed this new Mecha Godzilla that says welcome back.
That says welcome back. Welcome back. You know, unfortunately, our LGS has already said we're not comfortable doing games right away. So I expect to be playing online probably for another 3 or 4 months.
Probably.
Yeah.
But so. Maybe you'll be able to go there. And I don't know if they'll let you pick out singles, but you could probably turn in a list. I know, actually, one of our LGSs is doing singles. I don't know if the other one is or not.
They all are. You just have to send them the list and it's curbside pickup. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. You want to talk about some blue, the best color in Magic?
You know, it's debatable. It's debatable. There's a lot of evidence that says yes, but
there's a lot of arguments that other colors do other things better. So, you know, you can take that.
It's true.
So to set this up, right, we were talking about how can we do blue and not blue. We needed to really define the color blue, talk about its characteristics, talk about the pros, talk about the cons. And so we said, well, who better to ask about their opinions than the people that follow us and the people that hang out with us? So we posted on Twitter and we got some responses. So why don't we do this? I'll read one, you read one. And this is what everybody defined blue as. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll start. Number one, unfun.
Agreed. 100% agreed.
No, I love it.
Number two, expropriate.
Just blue is expropriate.
Yeah, that's right.
Number three, you decide the flow of the game. I mean, sure, control.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess, sure.
For sure. Number four, you get to bluff.
Okay. Number five, you are a road bump for people to get past.
You're not an arch enemy. You're just a road bump, but damn, are you annoying. Number six, people play anxiously, wondering if their spells will ever resolve.
Blue sounds miserable.
Mm-hmm.
And then lastly, you play longer than everyone else.
That's my favorite part about blue. You get to play more games.
So, you know, it seems like people playing against blue are playing against cards they're not fans of.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you can play blue and not play blue like this. Usually if you're splashing blue, if you're playing mono blue, you're probably doing some of these things to make people sad. When I play mono blue, I played extra turns and counter spells. So expropriate and unfun.
Mm-hmm. My mono blue was Jin Gitaxius, so.
Unfun. Yeah. You have zero cards in hand.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's how our community viewed the color blue. So take it with a grain of salt, of course, because you can play blue and not do all those things. So we said, you know, let's find a way to play blue, and maybe we need to split it into some categories, right? So based on what people had said and some suggestions, you know, we have like five different segments here, right? So we have counter spells, we have extra turns, changing the targets of spells, controlling the board or tempo plays, and then card advantage. So what we figured we'd do is go through and talk about how you can do those five things in other colors so you don't have to play with definitions of unfun and expropriate.
That's right. That's right. You can bring a deck to the table that isn't blue and play all of these cards, and people go, I felt like I just played someone who's blue. But then they don't have it in their head and they think it was a fun game still and everything. So it's great.
Yeah, because they played against green or something.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, when you're in green, maybe people aren't going to think you're going to cast a spell such as Avoid Fate. So when we're talking about counter spells, I'll start it off. Counter spells will be the first thing we talk about.
Sure.
When we're talking about counter spells in blue, typically there are like barely any restrictions. Like, counter spell is literally blue, counter target spell. you see some restrictions with like Swan Song, where it's like counter target instant sorcery or enchantment. But when you're talking about counter spells outside of blue, they're going to be real specific. So Avoid Fate is a green counter spell that you can play. Typically, a lot of these counter spells in green are only going to be applicable to cast when it like targets something that you control. So using these kind of counter spells, you'd be playing blue in the way of the combo player. So protecting your own stuff, making sure no one can get it, but still playing counters. So Avoid Fate for one green. It's an instant that says counter target instant or aura spell that targets a permanent you control. So someone tries to instant speed remove your creature, you've got a counter in green. The most well-known counters outside of blue are the ones played in CEDH formats against the color blue the most, and that is Pyroblast and Red Elemental Blast, which are both one mana spells, one red, to either counter target blue spell or destroy target blue permanent. Maybe not something you want to play. I guess in the mindset when we were first talking about this, I was reminded of Magic with Zuby does a stream where no one plays blue. So these particular yes. counter spells would be really bad in that format because no one's allowed to play blue. White has the famous counter spell Mana Tithe, which is very situational. So it's counter target spell unless its controller pays one generic. So in Commander, unless you're playing that like really early in the game, it's probably not a spell you want to play. However, White does have a better counter spell at 3 mana for 2 and a white. You can play Lapse of Certainty. So counter target spell, if that spell is countered this way, put it on top of its owner's library instead of into that player's graveyard. You can also kind of mess up someone's Vampiric Tutor or something by putting another card on top of their library that way.
You know what's funny is White has another one that mm-hmm. doesn't get any love. It's played in my Noyan Dar deck.
Oh, the enchantment?
The enchantment, Equinox. So you enchant a land and you have that land has tap to counter a spell that destroys one or more of your lands. Super situational, but still a mono white counter.
Absolutely.
And reusable.
Mm-hmm. And in fact, there is still one additional white counter. Rebuff the Wicked. For one white, it's an instant counter target spell that targets a permanent you control. So again, countering things that target your own stuff. If we want to go outside of that, we have to go up a little bit in the price for mana. The famous black spell is Withering Boon. For one and a black, it's from Mirage. It says pay 3 life, counter target summon spell or creature spell, it would be now. That's just a break. That's just a color pie break. Just hardcore. But we're okay with it.
I'm fine paying, right? You know, it's not a big deal to pay 3 life in Commander. You have 40. Don't be afraid to go down to 12.
Yeah.
I mean, then you start getting afraid. But go down there. It's fine. It's fine on the bottom end. People will feel bad for you eventually.
There are a couple other spells, again, situationally countering artifacts, countering enchantments. There's a couple enchantments themselves that actually have counters built on them that I think are pretty cool and might be relevant in certain formats. We have Death Grip, which is a black-black enchantment that says pay black-black counter target green spell. And we have Life Force, which is green-green enchantment, says pay green-green counter target black spell. So again, very situational, but recurring... for
are
countering
those from
a spell.
Chaos? What are those from? What sets are those two from? Do you have them in front of you out of curiosity?
I have screenshots of them, unfortunately.
Which one? What was the green one named again? Life Force?
It is Life Force.
And Life Force.
Yeah, the black one is Death Grip.
Oh no, they're just old.
They're just old.
Counter target black spell. But it's reusable on enchantments. That's great. I love it.
Yeah. The last one I had on here was one that actually one of our friends and in the Discord, Kyle, loves to play in all of his decks, and that's Warping Whale. And so this is a colorless counter spell. Yes. So for a generic and a colorless, you get to choose one. Exile target creature with power or toughness one or less. Counter target sorcery spell. Or put a 1/1 colorless Eldrazi sign creature token onto the battlefield that has sacrifice this creature, add a colorless to your mana pool. So this one, you know, it does have the modal ability. It does require colorless to cast, so there's going to be some decks that won't want it, but it is playable in all commander decks.
So we expect you to build an off-color blue deck, play all the counter spells,
yeah,
and hope someone's playing blue and wreck their entire day.
Yeah, four color, sans blue. There's probably a total of like 16, 18 counter spell abilities, and they're still, I don't know how good they're going to do for you. But some of these are actually really, I mean, Withering Boon, a ton of people play in their black decks. Some people play it as a meme. Some people play it as a real card. So, you know, take it as you will.
Yeah. Nope. Really good. So that's counter spells. Want to talk extra turns?
Yeah. So extra turns is something that is almost exclusively blue. So I think the number of blue extra turn spells exceeds the number of non-blue extra turn spells in total by a long shot. And a majority of these extra turn spells have a huge downside. So the other color that really likes extra turn spells is red. But all of them have this really bad caveat of at the end of the next turn, you lose the game.
Yep.
So we have Final Fortune, Last Chance, Warrior's Oath, and Chance for Glory, which are all extra turn spells in red. Chance for Glory is red and white. That all say you lose the game at the end of the next turn. So if you have a way of ending the turn with that trigger on the stack with like a Sundial of the Infinite, that works for you. Or countering the triggered ability, unless you're playing blue, I don't know how you're going to do that. But so you have a chance of getting one turn. A card that we talked about in... I don't know if it was the last episode or the episode before, but our green extra turn.
Yeah, it was the last turn, or last episode, I think.
Seed Time. Mm-hmm. So you can only play Seed Time on your turn, and you take an extra turn after this one, only if an opponent played a blue spell this turn. So you try to combo off the one blue player at the table counters, yeah, and you go, okay, I'll just take an extra turn, I'll combo off next turn, that's fine, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's try it again in just a couple seconds.
The other main ways we're going to be taking extra turns, there's one extra turn card in black, and it has a condition in order to meet. So Temporal Extortion is a black. When you play it, any player may pay half his or her life rounded up. If a player does, you counter Temporal Extortion. And then you take an extra turn after this one.
I've been victim of Coil playing that card, mm-hmm. and I go... yeah, I'll pay half my life. And he's like, cool, I didn't really even want the extra turn. I'm aware, but I feel like if you got the extra turn, I was still going to be here. Yeah. So I'm just going to take my turn next.
Yeah.
Always pay the life. Always be paying.
Well, so when you say life is a resource, you have to really think about paying half of your resource for this spell. Like, it's different with an expropriate. With expropriate, unless you're literally giving them a permanent that wins the game, you should almost always take money and don't let them have extra turns. If it means paying 20 life versus taking an extra turn, I don't know.
I mean, but if you're only at, right, so maybe you're only at 10 life.
Then like, cool, you do it for sure.
What's another five?
Oh, yeah.
Another five.
Absolutely, right? Do it.
I mean, losing 20 life is worst case scenario, and that card, what's the CMC of it again?
Four. All black.
Dang. All right. It is only four.
Uh-huh. But it's all black.
That could be cast on turn two. If it's cast on turn two with the Dark Ritual, and it could be cast on turn one very easily in Commander.
Yeah.
Maybe not very easily, but easily you could do it on turn one or turn two. I'm not paying that life on turn two or three. You're not winning the next turn, I assume.
No, and if you're tapping out to cast Temporal Extortion, that just means you're getting an extra land drop and playing one thing, maybe, on your next turn.
Yeah.
It's usually not as scary as people think. But if someone has, like, a Razaketh on board and they cast this, you're paying half your life. Sorry.
Yeah. Turn 10, you're paying half your life.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't care if you're a Loro.
You're probably still paying half your life.
If you're a Loro and you're at 80, I mean, you're only going back down to your starting life total. It's worth countering. Yes. Okay. So sorry for that little sidetrack. The other way we're going to be taking extra turns is with artifacts. So we can play them in any deck. Magistrate Scepter is actually a really fun one that I play with in my Shire deck. So you can pay 4 and tap it to put a charge counter on Magistrate Scepter. And you can tap it and remove 3 counters from Magistrate Scepter to take an extra turn after this one. So there is a mirror that actually can tap to add a charge counter to a permanent, or sack it to add a charge counter to a sacks itself to add a charge counter to a permanent. I play that in my Shire constantly, recurring, and you get an extra turn like every 2 turns that way. So it's not infinite extra turns, but it's a ridiculous amount of advantage. You can play it in any deck.
I played in Vorel of the Hulkblade, and all you do is double the counters on it, and you take 2 extra turns, and then before those 2 turns are over, you're able to make it. So you do go infinite in that deck.
Yeah.
Pretty quick.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
The other artifacts we have that will do extra turns are Time Sifter, which actually I keep stumbling across this card and reading it and thinking it would be a lot of fun. I don't know if people would have fun with this card or not. So at the beginning of your upkeep, everyone reveals the top card of the library. Highest CMC takes an extra turn after this one.
I've never played with or against that card.
It just takes turn order completely out of the thing. Turn order is now next person plays is the one with the top highest CMC. It's a very interesting card.
Interesting.
And then Ugin's Nexus is the next card. 5 CMC artifact. If a player would begin an extra turn, that player skips that turn instead, so it prevents your opponents from taking extra turns. But then if it would be put into a graveyard from the battlefield, instead you exile it and take an extra turn. So there's not a ton of ways to get stuff back from exile that are worth playing. So this probably isn't recurring, but it's one extra turn in artifact.
I mean, it's really good in Duretti where you can sacrifice it and then bring it back.
So you'd have to exile it to take the extra turn.
You exile it. You're right. You exile this one.
Yeah. But if you're playing like green and you had Fate Spinner, I think is her name, or Fate Shifter, that can bring a card back from exile to the bottom of your library or something, and then you have to search this card up. The loop for it is really, really complicated.
It's like an Eldrazi processor. Yeah. Your opponent has to do that. And no one's going to put that back in your deck.
But outside that, all we have is Gonti's Aether Heart, which takes like 9 energy to activate. Unless you're playing an energy deck, it's not worth playing. And you should be playing blue if you're playing energy. Personally, you should. Blue is really good for energy. So don't play Gonti's Aether Heart.
Don't play Gonti's Aether Heart.
Unless you're playing energy and you're playing blue.
Yarak. But,
yeah, that's where I play Gonti's.
Yep, makes sense. Changing target spells. Targets of spells or target spells.
Yeah, so this was kind of inspired by Narset's Reversal being printed, which says return target instant or sorcery to its opponent's hand, and you make a copy of it, and then you get to cast it. So, you know, changing spell control or changing the targets or duplicating spells is something that is pretty much only seen in blue, unfortunately. Duplicating spells specifically is something that is very prominent in red. So if you're playing red and you're looking to either, you know, win counter wars by casting a card like Fork. Fork is red, copy target instant or sorcery spell. Except that copy is red and you may choose new targets for the copy. So helps you win counter wars. If someone tries to counter you, you can just copy their counter and counter their counter.
Can you say that again?
Yeah, you copy their counter so you can counter their counter. Yeah.
Copy the counter so you can counter counter.
Yeah. The other thing you could do is if someone is playing like a giant kill spell to win the game, like an Exsanguinate for X equals 50, you can fork it. And now your Exsanguinate for X equals 50 is going to resolve before theirs does.
Yeah, fork you.
I got him. So I think these cards are just practically underplayed. I don't see people playing a lot of these. They're not, you know, particularly only hate against blue. It's if people are playing instants and sorceries, I mean, this isn't a bad turn two when someone ahead of you is casting Cultivate because they're one turn ahead and they're one land ahead. And you can copy their Cultivate, you know, before your turn and you can get to four lands. I mean, there's tons of ways that you can make use of these cards. Reverberate, it does literally the exact same thing as Fork, except it doesn't change the spell to red, in case that matters, and it's for red, red. Deflecting Swat, brand new card they just printed in Commander. Says if you control a commander, you may cast a spell without paying its mana cost and choose new targets for target spell or ability. So that's played in the Teemer deck. It's the Kalamax deck that actually has that printed in there. One of Andy's win conditions in his Feather deck, we have Dual Caster Mage. That can enter the battlefield.
Going to be a win con in the deck I talk about today.
There you go. When it enters the battlefield, you copy target instant or sorcery spell and choose new targets for the copy. Again, you're duplicating. Reiterate is one of the, a copy spell with buyback, so you can do it over and over. And Wild Ricochet, you actually copy the spell and choose new targets for the spell. So you really get two copies of it and can play it. And that one is two red, red. So all of those are actually in red. So if you want to be, if you want to play like blue in the way of redirecting and copying spells, you got to play red.
Yep. Red. But every deck can control the board. Every color has some sort of control aspect and they can make some tempo plays. So let's move on to control, which is what I think most people think about blue, that it's only control. It's not always control, but I think it's mostly control. And we've been conditioned to think that blue is control because you've played against it and you were most miserable playing against blue when someone was just playing long games that just go on for forever.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess some of the spells people are talking about when it comes to board control are going to be your Cyclonic Rift. And, you know, bounce spells like, I guess, Unsummon or Thieving Sprite. That's Brazen Borrower.
Thieving Sprite, Brazen Borrower. Rename card names. That should be another episode.
I think Thieving Sprite is already a card name. That'd be the every time we come up with a new card name. Ah, crap. Wizards already did it.
Thieving Sprite is a card, and it's from the Lorwyn block. It's black and says when it comes into play, target player reveals X cards from their hand, or X the number of fairies you have.
Yep. I bet it's got one power or less, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. So it's a She-Ray card.
That's why it's in my brain.
All right, back to control.
So yeah, these board wipe cards, these bounces, these resets, that's I think what people are more talking about when they're talking about blue control. But honestly, what's the difference between someone overloading a Cyclonic Rift and someone casting a Wrath of God? I mean, they're destroying all the creatures on board. Sure, it gets around like Hexproof and stuff, but those are problematic cards that you have to get rid of.
Yeah, so, but it also bounces all the artifacts, all the enchantments you have. I think that's why people complain most about Cyclonic Rift. But, oh man, Wrath of God. White, I view as the second most offensive control color.
For sure.
Oh, it's so good.
And such is blue-white. Such is Azorius control.
I mean, did I say offensive? I mean, crisp, refreshing. It's like, people say opening a beer is refreshing, but I don't think that is. What would I say is refreshing? Azorius is too refreshing as...
What's the drink that you get from Starbucks?
An iced caramel macchiato is... Azorius, refreshing, fun,
a little snooty, a little snooty.
Yeah, so white got Winds of Abandon. That's a really good overload card. You know, overload, if we're talking Cyclonic Rift, overload's offensive, but at least overload brings you back, Winds of Abandon overload kind of helps your opponents too with all those basics if they're running them. Right. I run a lot of basics anyway. So if one time someone overloaded Winds of Abandon against my Locust God deck and I had 16 things out and I was like, sure, I'll pull every basic out of this deck and next turn I'll try. I think white is really good at target and controlling the board. Doesn't have to be completely controlling the board. It can just be individual targeted removal that shuts a deck down, like a deck that needs their commander out. You're like, I'll just remove it once, and then your commander costs 7.
Right.
Then, you know, we'll remove it one more time. Now it costs 9. Good luck playing the rest of the game and playing your commander.
Right.
I feel like that's like the epitome of control.
For sure. And we even saw it with this brand new Ikoria rare, this magistrate that prevents people from casting their commander from the command zone. The card isn't a particularly new concept. We've seen Nevermore, which is an enchantment that comes out. You name a card, that card can't be cast.
Right.
So white is just as much of an offender. So people should be mad about playing against mono white as much as they are against playing mono blue.
And they're not. And to be fair, I was looking at decks that I should build, and I was honestly thinking about the new Heliod Sun Crown, just because it seems like an interesting deck. I don't have a mono white deck, and I can play the control strategy that I want to play. So, you know, look forward to that.
And Tutor Walking Ballista and win.
Oops, I win. No, white's really good, but red can control the board with mass board wipes. That is, you know, when I think of red, I just think explosions. You know,
for sure.
One of the cheapest commander decks that I did build, and I brought this to the game shop, and I showed up with one card in the deck and said, I need the rest of this deck and I need it in like 5 minutes. And they were like, you're not going to get it. And I said, well, what I need is 99 mountains.
That's right.
And they were like, what are you even doing? And I was like, I'm going to play Ashling the Pilgrim in 99 mountains. So Ashling the Pilgrim puts a counter on it by paying 1 and a red. And if you do that 3 times in a turn, you remove all the counters from it and you deal that much damage to each creature and each player. So you know you're going to hit your land drop every turn. So you do that 2 times on every turn. And then you finally remove all of the counters and you do some ginormous explosion like on turn like 6 or 7 later. And then eventually you just keep blowing people up. Was it good? No. Was it fun? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even sleeve that deck.
That's the best part.
I didn't even need sleeves. So mono red is very control-y. I don't think green does really well at control. I think green's control is, I'm going to do so much that you have to use all of your spells to try to control me. And that's the way that I'm controlling you because you have to use your targets. I guess you have to target my stuff instead of targeting other people's stuff that's probably also just as offensive.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, outside of fighting and mass artifact enchantment removal, there is some target artifact enchantment removal as well, but... Yeah, I mean, white pretty much does everything better when it comes to that already. I think Bane of Progress is like the only argument I would make where green does it better.
Sure, 100%.
But that's it.
I can't. I mean, there's green cards. There's that new Mammoth that was in Eldraine that comes out and it fights. When you have a creature come in, you can have it fight. I mean, that's a pretty controlling thing. And then, you know, I do play green-white wolves. Mm-hmm. And that feels like you're playing a control deck in green white, but you're specifically controlling the creatures that are out. You're not controlling anything else. So like we said at the beginning, these are all restrictive. None of them are a 1-to-1, you know,
right.
Replacement for blue. But no, controlling the board can be done in all colors, and black just has removal up the wazoo. So.
Black, I honestly think black has everything. But the caveat being pay X life
to do a lot of it.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, like, that's how black does it.
Like it even has Imp's Mischief, which I didn't talk about during the counter spell or the redirect spell.
I was surprised and I was like, well, you can't go through them all. I mean, there are so many things that we can't go through every single individual spell, but go through that one. I do like that card. Yeah,
Imp's Mischief is 1 and a black. It's an interrupt. I think it's old enough to be an interrupt. That says change the target of target spell and then you lose X life where X is the converted mana cost of that spell. So as you may know, a counter spell cannot counter itself because it itself is not on the stack when the counter spell goes on the stack. If that didn't make sense to you, that's okay. the important part is when you change the target of the spell with an Imp's Mischief, the spell is on the stack, so in that case, the counter spell can indeed counter itself.
We did this at Command Fest Chicago, right? Imp's Mischief countered a counterspell, but then summoned Narset's Reverse. It was the biggest stack we've ever had. Yeah. I think there were 9 cards on it, and I think I took a picture and tweeted it, and I think it was Shivan Bhatt. He tweeted and was like, this actually hurts my head.
Yeah.
He's like, looking at, he's like, how did this happen? And I was like, well, there was a foil. I had a telepathy out, so we knew what they had in their hands, so we just prepared for this. Mm-hmm. But it was Imp's Mischief. They did not see that card coming.
No. No.
That was great.
That was a card that I had originally purchased for my Sidisi Undead Vizier combo deck back in the day. I don't see it played a lot. You should play Imp's Mischief. I think it is a little bit pricey. I think they cost like $5 to $10 now.
Yeah. Really, but, really great card. I love it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you can control the board. Now let's talk about card advantage.
Woo!
So people see card advantage and they think, well, blue does it the best because they have Mystic Remora and Rhystic Study, and they've got Factor Fiction, and they've got Consecrated Sphinx. Well, yeah, they do. I mean, they do. They get those cards. They get those cards real good. They get all of them.
They get them all. But
there, you know, there are a lot of, when you think about card advantage, it doesn't necessarily have to mean you actually have more cards in your hand. You can think about it differently, as in making people discard cards. So you are getting card advantage in that you're forcing other people to discard, so you still have more. So I guess card advantage could be that. Or just value from your cards, meaning instead of one for one-ing, you get value when you cast the card. But so, you know, just a few examples in white, cards like Land Tax. So you're pulling all of your basics out of your deck, so you're still getting more cards in hand, even though they're just lands. Hopefully you don't draw lands. Cards like Sun Titan, when it comes into play or attacks, you return cards from your graveyard with CMC 3 or less. That's definitely card advantage in white. And then you've got Emiria the Sky Rune and Emiria Shepherd. So they one has landfall, the other one has the number of lands that you have. But Emiria the Sky Rune says, if you have 7 or more planes, return a target creature from your graveyard to the battlefield at the beginning of your upkeep. And Emiria Shepherd is, whenever a land enters the battlefield, you may return target non-land permanent from your graveyard to your hand. If it's a planes that came in, you put that non-land permanent back onto the battlefield. So white has a few ways to put things directly into play. We've got black with things like Vorath Stronghold. You can put a creature from your graveyard back on top of your library. Waste Not is a value engine.
Mm-hmm.
When your opponents discard things, you can make zombies. You can make mana. You can draw cards. Buried Alive can be card advantage if you're putting creatures that you can directly put into play from your graveyard. Siphon Mine, just forcing your opponents to discard cards and then you draw cards. Red does it a little differently. So there's a card like Humble Defector, tap to draw 2 cards, but then you give it to somebody and then they can do it. So hopefully you're working with somebody in that case.
Mm-hmm.
Cards like Commune with Lava, exile X cards from the top of your library, and then until the end of your next turn, you can cast them. Red does that a lot. They also have Outpost Siege, which you can choose 2 different modes, but one of the modes is exile the top card of your library at the beginning of your upkeep, and until end of turn, you can play it. So Red's getting their version of card draw. Or even like Flame Shadow Conjuring, when a non-token creature enters, you can pay to make a copy of it with haste, so you get extra creatures from your hand. Green has card advantage in cards like Evolutionary Leap, so instead of just losing your creature, you can replace it with another creature to your hand. Birthing Pod, to get a better creature from your library into play. Defense of the Heart specifically is, I think, actually card advantage, because you play 1 enchantment and you end up getting 2 creatures.
Mm-hmm.
So at the beginning of your upkeep, if an opponent controls 3 or more creatures, you can sacrifice Defense of the Heart and go grab any 2 creatures from your library and just put them into play. A lot of people just win with Mike and Trike. So mm-hmm. Micaeus and Triskelion.
Yeah.
So you just, the game ends then. Rishkar's Expertise, depending on the CMC, powers of the creatures that you have on the battlefield, you draw cards equal to the greatest power among creatures you control, and then cast a card with CMC 5 or less. If you have a big creature like Omnath, Locust of Rage, you can cast this, you can draw 5 cards and then cast 1 for free. So you end up being up 4 cards for playing 1.
Yep.
Artifact has a lot. You've got Skull Clamp to let you draw 2 cards. Mimic Vat can constantly put a creature back into play that you exile with it. Mind's Eye lets you draw. Sandstone Oracle, if you have no cards in hand, you play it and you choose an opponent with more cards in their hand and you draw cards equal to the difference. for multicolor, you've got Sphinx's Revelation and blue white, but you know, we're trying to avoid blue here. Right. Death Reap Ritual in Golgari, it has Morbid at the beginning of each end step. If a creature died, you draw a card. And that's a pretty good card. I think the most important one though here is actually in green, backing up, I forgot to mention it, Seasons Past. So Seasons Past is a sorcery, return any number of cards with different CMCs from your graveyard to your hand. So I mean, you could get like 7 cards back with this.
Right.
Really easily. And then you even got it in lands like Seagate Wreckage. Pay 2 and a generic draw card. Activate this only if you have no cards in hand. And I'm pretty sure there is actually a new card in Ikoria that Bonder's Outpost. It basically is a land that says, I think it's if you control a creature with power 4 or greater, you can pay
and you draw a card. 3 and tap it and draw?
3, tap it and draw. Is that right?
I don't remember what the condition was
for
that one.
Is it Bonder's Enclave? I think it's called Bonder's Enclave. Look up Bonder's Enclave.
Bonder's Enclave.
I just found it. Pay 3, tap it, draw a card, only if you control a creature with power 4 or greater.
It's Ferocious, except without Ferocious.
Yeah, Ferocious without Ferocious, sure.
Yeah.
But I like my card advantage on even my, you know, generic... mana color producing lands.
Right. And this is obviously avoiding the very obvious answers of Guardian Project or Beast mm-hmm. Whisperer, the Great mm-hmm. Henge.
Yep.
I mean, green's been killing it for just straight up cast a creature, draw a card. So it's replacing itself. Still card advantage.
Still card advantage.
Yeah.
You don't have to net to be, you don't have to draw 6. Or ask someone to pay 1 every time they cast a spell for it to be card advantage.
That's right.
You know, play a Sire of Insanity, but then, you know, be able to draw 5 cards on your turn, and that's card advantage.
There you go.
When you force all your opponents to discard their hand at the end of every single turn, if you have a way to cast 4 or 5 cards in one turn, that's card advantage.
Yeah, if I can't have more cards than you, I'm going to make sure you have less cards than me.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So... I think, I mean, you know, we'd like to hear from you. If you didn't respond to our post, what do you define the color blue as? You know, we had some responses that were, you know, like we said, I think my favorite response was expropriate.
Expropriate.
That's it. That's the response. That's it. Expropriate. So maybe that card's a tad bit overplayed, or just that play group really likes expropriate.
It costs 9 mana, right? It's got to be garbage for 9 mana.
In a Simic deck, it doesn't cost 9. I mean, it costs 9, but you're not fully paying 9 into that, I don't think.
Not many people do.
Not when you play a Nyx Bloom Ancient and you tap 2 lands and, and like a Mana Dork or something.
Keenan Bonder Prodigy casting Expropriate on turn 3, naturally.
You know what's funny is that's the only reason I wasn't building Keenan is because it just seems too easy to break things.
Yeah.
Like, I would love all that mana. I would love to be rolling. I would like to Scrooge McDuckett in my mana. I'm gonna off my diving board, but instead of it being coins, it's all the green and blue mana.
As long as it's something like liquid, because diving into coins would hurt bad.
In that show, he does it easily, and he does the backstroke, I think.
He sure does. He sure does.
But that's what I want to try with my mana.
Gotcha.
I want to be the Scrooge McDuck of Simic.
I mean, they do have Krufix. Krufix has been doing that for a while, to be fair. But
I assume Keenan goes in Krufix and Krufix goes in Keenan.
For sure. I actually have a copy of Keenan is my only human in the Otrini list I put together.
That, I mean, it works.
There's just a ton of dorks and rocks in it. So it made sense.
Makes sense. Do you want to hear about my Lysolde, the Blood Witch deck?
If I have to, no, I'm actually really excited because I've never heard you break it down before. I know about the end game. That's all I know about when it comes to Lysolde, and that's the original end game. And I know you were talking about new end game.
I was talking about, you know. The OG end game for this deck is really good. You know, this is the Marvel's end game, but Lysolde instead of Thanos. But she doesn't snap her fingers. She casts herself and kills herself like 19 times to win.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
so it's like the I can't remember his name. All of our fans are gonna hate me. The wizard guy, Benedict Cumberbatch's character.
Oh, that's the guy that.
Oh no,
Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange, because Doctor Strange died an infinite number of times in that time loop in his movie.
when he told us how many times, producer Ryan's been listening. He just showed up to judge us.
We needed your help on that Doctor Strange comment.
You should have just right because. He's the one that he shows up and he's like, I've calculated it out. And of this number of times, you win exactly once.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, we're going to have to make it count.
It's our only chance.
Dude, you know, before I go into this, you know, wouldn't it have been interesting if Endgame they lost?
I honestly, yes, it'd be great. Then it would be over. There would be no more.
If they made a second Endgame... and we knew the Avengers lost, I would still go to the movies to watch that.
Of course.
Make that alternate ending. I just actually want a second movie where it's completely different.
Yeah, yeah. They do that.
They
all
just
the time.
Don't get the final Infinity Stone because, you know, she doesn't want to die. And she's like, no, I'm not sacrificing myself. I don't want to do that. And they're like, well, I guess we lose.
Well, that's when Hawkeye, they had a backup for that. Hawkeye was sacrificing himself.
No, he had to go take a nap.
Yeah, he was tired.
All right. Lysolde, the Blood Witch.
Yes.
So she is a 3-1 human cleric for 1, a black and a red that has the ability to pay 2 generic sac a creature. She deals 2 damage to target creature or player if the sacrificed creature was red. And you draw a card if the sacrificed creature was black. If it was both, you do both of those things. So that's pretty cool. She's a 3-1, and you're in black-red, so you could go the sacrifice strategy, which I have some of, but you could also go infinite mana strategy, which I also have. Mm-hmm. So I actually originally started looking at this deck when Commander's Quarters had come out with the deck a long time ago. On a budget Lysolde that relied on World Gorger Dragon Animate Dead, because I don't really know how this deck wins in any reasonable time frame without being disrupted because the commander doesn't do a whole lot. I mean she does, but she only deals 2, and it's to one thing, not all things. So I said, okay, well, I agree. I want to have I always, when I build my decks, like I've said before, I want to have a way to win the game. So WinCon is World Gorger Dragon Animate Dead. So let's just start with that and then add from there. So we have a lot of ways to ping your opponents. We have a strategy with Blood Artist and Zulaport Cutthroat for things to die. We also have Mayhem Devil that came out in Throne of Eldraine. So whenever I sacrifice a permanent, I deal damage to a player. Or when a creature I control dies, I deal damage to a target and gain a life, or I deal damage to each of my opponents and I gain a life. So I'm attempting to gain life. I said, well, I need to have creatures to sacrifice. So we've got 2 really, really nice enchantments for this. We've got Bitter Blossom and the new Dreadhorde Invasion. So Bitter Blossom makes a 1/1 black fairy rogue with flying each turn. And you lose a life, and then Dreadhorde Invasion has at the beginning of your upkeep, you lose 1 life and you amass 1. So you either put a counter on a zombie. If you don't have a zombie, you make a zombie. And then the rest of that card doesn't really matter because you're never going to get to 6 power or greater with that zombie. So just ignore the rest of that card.
Sure,
Bitter Blossom. So you have these cards online, and if you have a Zulaport Cutthroat or you have a Blood Artist, your commander is the sac outlet. Now, you have other sac outlets in here like Ashnod's Altar and Phyrexian Altar, so you can sacrifice them. You like to sacrifice them to Lysolde so you can draw cards. But the real point of this deck is to try to end the game, right? I'm playing black-red combo. So we play a bunch of cards to be able to tutor for your combo and just win. So we are playing Demonic Tutor. We've got Dark Petition. I don't have a Vampiric Tutor because I just can't find one at any LGSs near me. I run cards like Scheming Symmetry. I don't mind letting two players, you know, search for cards and put them on top of their library. Unfortunately, it's a sorcery, so I usually play this one earlier in the game instead of later in the game because I might just lose if I give someone that. We have a couple removal spells here. We've got Terminate. We've got Bedevil. Last One Standing is really great because if you don't have a whole lot going on and your commander's not out, just choose a creature at random and destroy the rest. I guess you don't really care what happens. So the whole point of the deck, though, is to tutor for your combo of World Gorger Dragon and Animate Dead. So to tutor, I mentioned a few. The best tutor in here is Final Parting. Woo-hoo. Final Parting is search your library for two cards, put one into your hand, the other into your graveyard. It costs 5 mana. If you have 7 mana total, which is not that difficult to do in Commander, and if you have an Ashnod's Altar out with one of your enchantments making the creature and you sack it, this is even easier. You search for the World Gorger Dragon, put it in the graveyard, Animate Dead, put it in your hand, and then you go off by making infinite mana. This is the definition of Glass Cannon for a Commander deck. Really, you'd be surprised how easy it is to interact with Animate Dead, World Gorger Dragon, especially when your friends know that's really the only way your deck wins. And it does not matter what you do. You can tutor and wait 6 turns. It does not matter. One of the three will have the answer because they've talked about it. And they go, well, we know what Andy just did, even though they don't really know what I just did. But they know what I just did, and they're just going to wait for it. So you have to have some backups, which is what I'm looking to do. I just haven't been able to get them yet, but we're going to add Dual Caster Mage and Twin Flame. So you can make infinite Dual Caster Mages with haste, infinite 2/2s in your swing, also wins you the game.
Yep.
And then you attempt to resolve them all on the exact same turn. Now you need a lot of mana. So we play some interesting cards that allow you to discard cards from your hand and produce mana. Bog Witch, really great. Pay a black, discard a card from your hand, add 3 black to your mana pool. So you can discard your World Gorger Dragon and then you get mana towards the Animate Dead that you need to cast. I think that's a really underplayed card. I just recently added Kroxa, Titan of Death's Hunger. I don't know if it works well with the deck yet, but we're going to test this out because when it enters, you or attacks, each opponent discards a card. And for each opponent who didn't, they lose 3 life if they didn't discard a non-land card. It's still just a 6/6 for 2. So yeah. I like having stuff on the battlefield. Otherwise, you have cards to mill cards because you want to get your World Gorger Dragon in the graveyard. But in this deck, I am playing Imp's Mischief, which we talked about earlier, to change the target spell with a single target. So if someone's trying to get rid of or counter or bounce my Animate Dead, I just change it to something else. We run Entomb to throw it in the graveyard. We run
Buried Alive.
We run Buried Alive. Yep. And then I'm also looking to get an Underworld Breach that I don't have yet either. Underworld Breach to cast cards from my graveyard if they were countered or if I just need to do it again. And then because I had it, you know when you just had it and you want to throw a card in your
life? I think I know what you're, is the acronym YW?
What does it rhyme with?
Pogtoth's Jill.
Yes, it's Yawgmoth's Will. This card is, I love rhyming, man. I love rhyming cards that are completely obvious what you're telling, not telling people. So Yawgmoth's Will, for 2 and a black until end of turn, you can play cards in your graveyard as though they were in your hand, and then you exile them when you cast them. So if somebody decides to counter your spell, you just Yawgmoth's Will and just play it again and hope for the best. But the end game here is you make infinite mana with World Gorger Dragon and Animate Dead. If there's any questions on how that works, feel free to reach out to me. But basically, you tap your mana in response to the World Gorger entering, and then the Animate Dead comes back, and you just make infinite mana. And your win con's your commander, because you've just made infinite. So you play Lysolda, you sack her to herself, you draw 1 card, and you deal 2 damage to an opponent. So you do have to draw out of almost your entire deck to do this, because you are drawing. So if somebody milled you for half your deck, you might not win. So you need a backup. The backups here are cards like Piranha Marsh, when enters the battlefield, target player loses one life. So with World Gorger Dragon, this bouncing back and forth, that wins. You can play Rick's Maddy Dungeon Palace to make your opponents discard cards as part of that combo. And then Stencia Bloodhall and Shivan Gorge. So both of those have you pay an amount of mana, tap them, and you either deal a damage to an opponent or you deal 2 damage to target player. And if since you're making infinite mana, Lysolde draws you, but these don't force that requirement. So if you're going to draw out of your deck, you would lose. These are your backups. So it's a combo Rakdos deck. It was in my series that I had to build one commander for each of the Ravnica guilds. This is the commander that I built after building Rakdos. I did not really like Rakdos from the Gatecrash block, the one that makes everything cost cheaper. But you had to have dealt damage to an opponent to cast it. Right. I just realized it was way harder to deal damage to an opponent, cast it, make it resolve, and live for a turn. Yeah. Having that extra requirement is difficult after a board wipe, because you're like, I have nothing to deal damage to somebody, so I cannot cast my commander. When it worked, but I think this works better. So
even before then, you had a different Rakdos deck. You had your Unleash deck.
I had Exava, Rakdos, Blood Witch, and it was Unleash. And for some reason, I just could not get the mana to work. I either had like 15 mana and nothing, or I had 2 mana and rocks and couldn't cast them because they cost 3 or something. It was a super budget deck. Mm-hmm. I still really want to make that deck work. I just don't know if it's good. But now that things are being made that care about counters, like, you know what? That deck would want the Ozolith.
Yeah.
Yeah, because when my Unleashed creatures die, you know, there's the 1/1 counters. It can get put right on the Ozolith. Mm-hmm. So I would like to circle back to that deck at one point. The nice thing is that it's completely different than Lysolde and doesn't really share a card pool with many other decks because it plays a lot of Unleashed cards to take advantage of that. So, you know, maybe if we do another budget series, I'll do that when we play decks again. We should do that again.
It was fun.
That was really fun. but I think that is the end of, I think that's the end of our episode.
Yeah. Episode 49. The 49. End.
That's the end of the 40s.
Yeah. That means next is 50.
Can you believe that? Can you believe that? We will never have an episode in the 40s ever again.
I'm sure Ryan is stoked about that.
But you can't argue the 140s are the 40s. That's a long ways away, but it's not the 40s.
It's the one.
Someone's going to argue it's the 40s.
They can make that argument as long as they're still listening to the podcast by then.
Well, thank you all for listening. If you want to contact us, you can find our podcast on Twitter at Guardian Pod. You can find me at AT Flory.
You can find me at Wormcoil Engine.
And you can look for hashtag Guardian Project Pod to find our posts and episodes. You can email us at guardianprojectpod@gmail.com. And if you're interested in joining our Discord, send us a message. We'll send you an invite when we stream on Fridays. We have been posting that. There's lots of chat going on, so we'd love you to join the discussion. And I guess we'll see you all next week.
Yeah, see you at 50.
See you at Nifty. What's 50 the rhyme
Nifty
for somebody?
United States.
I know that song.
Me too.
I had to sing that in like fifth grade.
It's the only way I actually learned the states.
And so. when you had to cheer the best state, we screamed Michigan.
That's right. It's the best of the 50 Nifty.
I only know the states in order because of that. And if someone asked me a state that starts with the letter P, I will still go with that song.
Yeah, gotta go the whole way through. Like the alphabet when people are talking about what letter in the alphabet set. No, I still do the whole song. The song. Yeah. Up in here.
Go to the whole song.
Is it before or after LMNOP? Because I might be able to shortcut it if you give me that information.